97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Happy you're here. It's a Thursday morning, the 26th day of June. It's going to be a heater out there again this morning, and we will, of course, keep you up to date on all of that as it goes along, the traffic and everything else. Kim St. Ogden here with me this morning, and, of course, Ethan is running the board over there, doing a great job. We got Sue Thomas before too long, and we're going to get to all of it. We got a big show for you. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Beavis Shock, of course, attorney with Shock Law, shocklaw.com, because the biggest shock this week, if I can make a play on his last name, is that the attorney general has told the sheriff of St. Louis to get out of town. The sheriff says he's not going anywhere. Yesterday, he filed legal paperwork to remove him from office. It's called quo warranto. And if you didn't go to law school like me, we're going to let a legal expert like Beavis explain what that is. They tried to do it with Kim Gardner. Remember, they threatened this with her, too. So we'll check in with Beavis coming up here in the next segment. Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour. Find out about that big home run derby the Cardinals had the other day and how their prospects are looking at the moment. So stay tuned for that. Also, next hour, I don't know what to expect. We're supposed to have a news conference starting in about an hour from Pete Hegseth and Department of Defense officials explaining what evidence they have about the bombing in Iran, what the impact was, no pun intended, what we really destroyed, what we didn't destroy. That's supposed to happen at 7. You know those things don't always happen on time. We had already scheduled Alan Dershowitz in that time slot, the attorney who you see on Fox all the time, to talk about some of the big issues that are going on with the Supreme Court. This is the end of the Supreme Court session this week. So today and tomorrow are when they're going to unleash a flood of major decisions, including the ones on whether or not all these local district court judges can step in and stop with injunctions the president of the United States just because their politics don't agree with him. That's what it seems like in most of these cases. So we will be sure and check in with Alan on that when we get him on the air. We've got Jim Talent scheduled next hour as well. Shannon Bream a little bit later. I mean, we have got a fantastic and very full show for you this morning. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to get to all of that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. And right now, Ethan, why don't we go ahead and get to our short list, please?
The Mark Cox Short List.
Let him fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easier to stop him.
And then Daddy has to sometimes use strong language.
You have to use strong language. Every once in a while, you have to use a certain word.
There's President Trump. Of course, he's talking about what's going on there with Zelensky, and you've got Benjamin Netanyahu. They're trying to throw him out of office over there, throw him in jail or something, and been one of the greatest leaders in the history of Israel. What in the world is going on?
I wanted to know how he's doing. He was very nice, actually. You know, we had little rough times sometimes. He was couldn't have been nicer. I think he'd like to see an end to this. I do.
And he wore a suit. He's talking about Volodymyr Zelensky, who showed up in the Netherlands wearing a suit. Because when you need more money, you need to suck up to the people who have it. And he's hoping for more U.S. support, no doubt.
I wish I could yield back the last 5 minutes of my life, actually. And I want to apologize to the people of Arizona that we have somebody who's representing the folks in one of our great parts of the valley that doesn't care about the integrity of our election. So
Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake went sideways on a U.S. congressman yesterday, but in that sort of sweet way that Carrie Lake does. The guy was speechless. That doesn't happen very often in Congress. I'll try to play that for you here coming up in just a minute.
For weeks, my office has received reports of misconduct, malfeasance, and unethical behavior regarding the St. Louis City Sheriff. This is about restoring the rule of law. Each count is significant enough to warrant removal from office.
Yeah, that's the attorney general there, and Andrew Bailey yesterday talking about why he filed what he did against the sheriff Montgomery, And we'll be watching that story today closely and getting our friend Beavis Shock to comment on it coming up here in just a few minutes. Let me get back to this Carrie Lake story. So Carrie Lake is the one trying to help wind down, among other things, the Voice of America. VOA has a long and rich history in America. It was a voice of freedom to a lot of people in the Soviet Union and other countries, socialist countries, Cuba, places like that, for a long time. Somewhere it got off track, and there are certain rules to the Voice of America, Kim, and I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but. For example, it cannot broadcast within the continental United States, even though the broadcast originates in the continental United States. It's somewhere along the line, Congress lost control of what happens with the Voice of America. And it's many people agree, like Carrie Lake and the President of the United States, it's no longer serving the purpose it was originally designed for, and it costs a lot of money. To support. And as you're looking to streamline government, this is one of the areas you're looking at. So Lake was brought in to testify at this hearing on DOGE cuts. A part of them would affect PBS and all of that stuff, but specifically on the Voice of America. And there was a congressman there from Arizona, it's a Democrat, who doesn't like Carrie Lake because Carrie Lake ran for governor out there and lost, and she had issues with how the election went. She's been very loud. She's been in court. She claims that it was mishandled. Polls were shut down. People were still trying to vote in heavy Republican areas. Those votes were never counted. She claims that she won that race. She sticks to it to this day. And the guy was blasting her for that. Go to cut nine, please.
I wish I could yield back the last 5 minutes of my life, actually. And I want to apologize to the people of Arizona that we have somebody who's representing the folks in one of our great parts of the valley that doesn't care about the integrity of our election. So
he referred to Carrie Lake as toxic. This Representative Stanton is his name out of Arizona. And then she said, I'd rather refocus on why we're here, Congressman, which is to talk about the VOA. And then she just gutted him like a fish. Go to cut 10 for us, Ethan, please.
We're talking about USAGM today, the Agency for Global Media, and how they can put out absolute abject lies. And we can't control any. We have no say over what the editorial content is. And I would hope that you would not be OK with that. They could literally put out a lie about anybody here. And I know you've been the victim of that. I know you've been the victim. I remember the stories about you where they said you had a gay lover, and those were going on.
Mr. Chairman.
Can I
hope you honor what you just gave as a caution to everyone, and I moved those words.
To tell you that those kind of lies, and you said those were lies, those kind of lies could be broadcast today on VOA, and you couldn't pick up the phone, Representative Stanton, and call them and say, hey, you're putting out lies about me. You would not be able to do that because they would sue you for breaking the firewall. So lies are being told on Voice of America. It's inappropriate. You've been subjected to lies that you said were lies about you in the media before. And how would you like it if those lies were put on Voice of America right now?
Wow. Wow. The guy wasn't the one protesting. It was another congressman sitting behind him trying to get her to shut up about what she was saying about the stories that were apparently reported about, because she was an anchor in Arizona. Mm-hmm. She remembers when these stories came out. And that's the last thing that guy wanted to talk about in that hearing yesterday.
It really is mind-blowing that the federal government is still supporting these different public media groups. I don't get it.
And we wouldn't even know about it if it wasn't for a change in government here. I mean, this story would just be covered up. All right, quick break here. We'll get to our friend Beavis Shock and what's going on with the Attorney General and the Sheriff of St. Louis. Stay tuned.
Attorney General Andrew Bailey gave Sheriff Alfred Montgomery until noon today to quit. The sheriff said he was standing firm, saying he's done nothing wrong. And when that deadline came and went, Bailey followed through with his ousting effort.
Yeah, Yes, he did. You heard the bite earlier from the Attorney General. In fact, we had him on yesterday. He's been all over the media. I think Reardon had him on yesterday afternoon, where he was in studio, I'll point out, to Kim St. Ange. He wouldn't get up and come in early for us. I gave him some grief about that yesterday. But in the meantime, we're dealing with the fact that the sheriff says he's not going anywhere, and the effort has now been filed in court. My friend Beavis Shock from Shock Law is on the phone with us this morning to explain to us what the Latin term quo warranto really means. Beavis, what do you think?
Well, so I did take Latin in high school. I was very good at it because I didn't have to do anything but memorize a bunch of weird words. And a lot of the words are similar to modern words. Quo means the question, what? What does it mean? Quo. Quo warranto means by what warrant or authority. So imagine you're in the Middle Ages and some king is the boss in England and you're the local sheriff and you kind of start getting out of line. You start locking up people that shouldn't be locked up. You're stealing from your population. The king comes in and says, by what authority are you doing this? Quo warranto meaning kind of the word authority. What are you doing this? And so the sheriff would have to come to I guess, a court that had then and say, well, my authority as sheriff includes stealing from the people. And he'd say, no, he doesn't. No, it doesn't. You're out. And off he would go. And that would be the end of that. So that's the source. Now, we should really upgrade some of these terms. But on the other hand, they make it seem have lawyers feel mysterious and above other people. So Latin is always good. Hi, Kim. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah,
good. I like this explanation because I didn't know. You know, you hear these fancy words and it's like right over your head. What does that even mean, you know, officially? But that explains it because that's the question, too, is. And that was kind of what I was asking Bailey yesterday was like, do you actually have the power because he was elected Montgomery? Do you have the power to just remove him basically and what that process would even look like? How complicated is that?
Yeah. So here's what I think is going to happen. So he does have the authority. There's a statute, which is a law passed by the legislature. And there's also what we call in the legal game, a rule. So the Missouri Supreme Court establishes rules of the game. Like on a tennis match or basketball court, here's the way we play, and the rules allow for an action like this against an elected official. Now, I'm not going to explain why, but some officials you can impeach, and some you get rid of by quo warranto. This is a quo warranto. So I think the attorney general has the guy pretty tight. But what the first thing that's going to happen is that all the judges in St. Louis City are going to say, I'm not handling this. And that's called a recusal because the guy who's managing the courtroom, his courtroom security, works for the defendant. So they're all going to say we're out. And that will take a week. Then the Missouri Supreme Court has to appoint somebody new. Now, I talked to a judge yesterday, a retired judge. He said, yeah, they do that pretty fast, Beavis. That's usually 2 or 3 days. So let's give them that. So they'll appoint somebody to come in from Rolla or Kansas City or something, some judge who's a properly appointed, duly sitting, proper judge, just not from St. Louis City. And they're not going to do somebody from St. Louis County either. That wouldn't make any sense. And then that person will come in, and then we have a thing in the law, a rule, which allows any party to say, I don't like that judge. I want a new judge. And that's
challenge.
Called a change of judge. You get one count, one shot at that. So by the way, the sheriff, Montgomery, has hired an ex-judge named Mason, Judge Mason, who is one of the most distinguished members of the bar, was a really popular judge. Everybody liked Judge Mason. Everybody thought he was very competent, seldom reversed by the Court of Appeals, tried a million cases, knows what he's doing. So Montgomery's hired a really good lawyer. He's going to ask for what's called a change of judge, and that will add another 2 or 3 weeks to the process. And Andrew Bailey won't do that, but because that would imply he doesn't trust the judges, which would be bad. And then we'll get at the merits finally, maybe in late July. That's my prediction. And the trial's going to take a while, right? I mean, you got to prove all this stuff.
So Sheriff Montgomery, and what you're telling us, is going to get to enjoy that brand new SUV he bought, despite the fact that the department has no money
for quite a while.
Yeah,
I think that's the deal to cut. So, hey, man, here's what we do. We give you 3 months' pay. You keep the Tahoe. Get out of our hair.
Yeah, that could That could happen. Absolutely.
That's why he bought it.
$52,000. And they're in a budget
deficit.
That's
a deal. I wonder if he got that from Don Brown. I don't know.
But
I'm
bunch.
Listen, and did he negotiate him down? I mean, my wife and I buy cars once in a while, and I say, hey, honey, shut up. I'm a genius. I'll get a deal for us, which then completely fails. The guy says, I'm not cutting you a deal, Beavis.
Yeah, of course. Beavis Shock, listen, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for the explanation.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the Latin lesson.
I feel smarter.
Quo warranto.
After learning that.
I do know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Under what authority?
Under what authority?
Are you telling me to do that? So
I'll just use that casually when I'm talking to people.
You
just
should.
To sound fancy.
You should. That'll impress them. And that then is. They'll have to stop and ask you, what does that mean? And then you can impress them
authority?
With your knowledge. Granted to us, given to us by Beavis Shock. Shocklaw.com. You can check him out there. Tom Ackerman will be in here, and under his authority as a sports director, will explain to us exactly how the Cardinals are doing right now, and maybe more about that City game that took place yesterday. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, Tom Ackerman in here drinking coffee as we introduce him, because we all need caffeine at this hour.
Yeah, you know, we're covering sports. We got baseball late at night. Things happen. You got to the Cardinals got to get rid of that one quickly. You got a day game today. You got to get over it and get after it, because the momentum was so good coming into the game yesterday. Guys were talking about how they just can't wait to get to the ballpark, can't wait to hit. And the Cubs came in first pitch that Eric Fetty threw last night. Ian Happ hit it out of the ballpark, and you just knew that it was going to be trouble. Fetty just did not have it last night. He was throwing balls down the middle of the plate, and the Cubs were hitting him. He just had a really off night, and the Cardinals couldn't respond, couldn't score. It was just a bad night for him. So they lose 8-0, and today they play Shota Imanaga. He's good. He's the Cubs' ace. He hasn't pitched in 6 weeks. He's been out with a hamstring injury, almost 7 weeks now for him. So they'll counter with Andre Pallante, and he was very good in his last start against the Reds. And the Cardinals are a really good ball club. I mean, they're in the race right now. They just had a rough night after beating the Cubs twice. And the Cardinals' offense has been very tough. I mean, over this run, they've averaged about 7 runs a game. Now that's going to be about 6.5 after getting blanked last night.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But a really good team, man. The Cubs are, and the Cardinals are, and the Brewers are, and the Reds are right there, too. It's a 4-team race right now in the NL Central. Here's how it stacks up. The Cubs, then the Brewers are 2.5 out. Cardinals 3.5 out. Reds 5.5 out.
The Cubs are in the lead.
Have been all season, pretty
man,
much.
That's an uncomfortable situation.
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
I feel
man.
More comfortable, though, that they beat them the first two games. Like you said, I'm looking at it like, wow, I can't believe we beat them, because I knew they were number one in the NL Central. So at least we're not getting blown away. At least it's not a sweep so far where this is, well, at least an opportunity today to sweep us.
The first two games were really fun. Yeah. The Cardinals smoked them in the first game. It was just not even a contest, 8-2. The second game, the Cardinals were up. Actually down 5-2, came back, tied the game, zapped a home run, did Nolan Gorman. And then the play of the game was Pete Crow Armstrong, the excellent center fielder for the Cubs, just had a lapse for whatever reason. He forgot how many outs there were. So Mason Wynn is standing at second base, and Alec Burleson hits a deep fly ball to center. And Crow Armstrong goes up, makes the catch, and then just kind of casually twirls around like the inning's over.
Oh, well, no.
Wynn just keeps on running. Pop Warner waves him home. That's a sac fly RBI from second base that gave the Cardinals an 8-5 lead, and they won it 8-7. It ended up being the winning run. So that was a rough one. I'm sure the Cubs showed up yesterday focused and ready to go after getting embarrassed in those first two games. They don't. Obviously, like losing in St. Louis, losing to the Cardinals, losing it all. But this is a good rivalry, and, you know, they're showing some pride. Now the Cardinals need to come back today on a hot afternoon at Busch Stadium and try to capture 3 of 4, get themselves back to where they wanted to be. They go to Cleveland this weekend, and coming up July 4th, they'll go to Wrigley Field, and they'll play the Cubs for 3. It's really been a fun time, I think, these two going at it. I'm hearing we're going to have a really good crowd today. For whatever reason, the tickets sold like hotcakes for this thing. So we'll see who ends up showing up on a really hot day. But I'm hearing the ticket sales were very high for this afternoon's game.
That's good. Yeah. I would be voted least likely to look at the baseball standings, so that's where my next question comes from. on the other side, have the White Sox gotten any sort of a bump out of Pope Leo? Like, has that helped them
bit,
at all?
Actually. A little bit. I mean, the Cardinals went in and swept them. but, you know, they were doing fine up until then. But they're not going to do much this year.
No, I'm sorry.
Mark, I mean, they're one of the worst teams in baseball. The Rockies are the worst team in baseball. They're 18-62. The White Sox are 26-55. They won yesterday. But they're not going to be doing a lot of winning. That's a team that's way far away from where they need to be. They've put themselves in a hole. They're sort of developing at the moment.
Didn't they have a Pope Leo night or something like that where they honored him? And
well, it was at the ballpark, but was it during a game? It was it was an event when they were out of town, wasn't it?
And he appeared, virtually and gave an address. Now let's not forget Pope Leo's father was a Cardinals fan.
That's true.
Let's not forget that.
And his older brother is a Trump fan.
And his mom
lives in Florida.
His mom was a, oh, is that right?
Pope Leo's not a Trump fan, though.
His mom was a Cubs fan. So they got a little bit of that in there, too.
Well, they're in Chicago. They got two teams up there. Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah. So, I'm going to bring up the NBA, and not just because the MVP was a Kentucky graduate. That's not why I'm bringing that up. I want to play some soundbite from last night's NBA outing where they had the draft last night, right? They had the draft in the NBA. This is one of the things that happened last night.
With the 9th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Toronto Raptors select Colin Murray Boyles from the University of South Carolina.
Colin Murray Boyles sharing this moment with his mom, Yvonne. His dad, Sean.
I wish.
His brother, James.
I wish this was TV sometimes, just so you could see that video and not just hear the audio. I don't know anything about the Raptors, Tom, but I'm guessing they're a pretty miserable NBA franchise.
Well, they've had their moments. They've done some winning.
So clearly this Broyles kid did not want to go to the Raptors because the cameras are all on him and they announce that he's the winner and he stands up. And he clearly drops the F-bomb, like, mom, you can just hear him grunt it out. And you couldn't pick it up on camera, but you could read his lips very clearly. He was very clearly pissed off that he's going to the Raptors.
Just be happy
The video's going to go viral on the internet this morning because you can clearly tell that's not where he wanted to go play basketball.
What pick was he? What number?
Ninth?
Nine.
Yeah. I mean, you, like the Mavericks, which is where Cooper Flagg went. I mean, typically it works where the team that was the worst they're going to get the best
the
player,
pick,
like
right?
a Caitlin Clark, right? She went to the Fever. Yeah. So that's to be expected that you're probably not going to be in love with, if you're a top pick, right? You're not going to be in love with the team you're going to?
Yeah, you have to know about where you're going to be picked and who might be able to take you, and the teams will tell you, you know, that they're interested in you. There's a big difference between the NBA and college basketball, I guess, in that respect, where, you know, these obviously the players who are heading into college, whether you're a high school player, you get to pick where you're going to go. You know, these teams recruit you and then you pick. Or now players are just jumping into the portal and they decide, I want to go there.
Well,
I
his agent
for there.
Surely.
So they just kind of move around freely. And in the NBA, you get locked into a contract. The other side of it, though, is you're making millions. I mean, these guys are getting paid a
top
ton
10
of money.
Draft pick. He's going to make plenty, right?
Yeah, let me take my tiny violin out for him. I don't feel sad for him.
But they all have agents. His agent should have said, here's what's going to happen. Whoever picks you, just smile. You don't have to do anything else, and that is not what this kid did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how bad it is. You still get to go to all those other cities and travel around and live in luxury and play in every building and... You know, eventually you're not going to play for the Raptors the rest of your life. I mean, at some point you'll play for somebody else. I don't know.
Highest average salary in professional sports, isn't it? Hey, NBA?
They're phenomenal players.
I didn't know that.
I wouldn't argue. Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, a smaller team. So.
You're right, smaller.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. If I lived in an NBA city, I'd probably think higher of the NBA because you'd get to see the players in person all the time, and they are phenomenal
right.
at what they do. I just prefer college. I like the atmosphere of college games better, but there's no denying these guys are incredible at what they do.
Just wait till Kentucky and Indiana are doing those home-and-home
baby.
Games again, baby.
We're playing you this year. Let's
you don't
go.
Think St. That's Louis right. would ever get an NBA team, do you?
I think it's possible down the road, yes. I think Tatum, Beal, some of these guys.
Oh, they got the cash
to do
it.
Down the road, yeah. have a desire. Might be able to talk some people into it, but I think we're years away from that.
Interesting.
Well, we are a sports team.
Yeah, I got to go do sports.
We're a sports city, I meant to say.
We're a great sports city.
We really are. We've proven that time and again.
We are.
All right. See you, Tom.
See you, Tom.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Don't forget your coffee.
Yeah, you'll need that. You'll need that for sure. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We had an NBA team at one point.
Did we?
American Basketball Association many years ago.
What was the name?
Who was it, Ethan?
We had the Spirits of St. Louis for a while, but then we had the St. Louis Hawks who moved to Atlanta.
Was that before I was born or when I was very
Cliff
young?
Hagen was part of that team.
Way
in fact, I had him,
no,
on my had him on
a
channel 4 years ago. He was a big Kentucky player, and he was on one of those teams.
You know how we talk about on the show where a lot of our conversations somehow get shifted back to food? That's how it is with you in Kentucky.
Well,
somehow it's like...
If it's basketball, it's probably going to gravitate
not a connection,
toward that.
But it goes to Kentucky. Did you know his great 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 grandfather
went to
Kentucky?
Did you know that?
Did
yeah,
you know
just
that?
Played basketball in Kentucky. Yeah, it's a badge of honor for these people and
is
for
it?
Me, of course. Is it really? All right, coming up, we'll get to other news in just a couple of minutes. Top of the hour, we are expecting a news conference from Pete Hegseth and I don't know who else, maybe some of the top generals at the Department of Defense talking about the real damage done in Iran. And we're going to carry that live for you coming up here at 7 a.m. or whenever it starts. So stick around for that. We'll be back. What I'm about to tell you does not apply to me in any way, shape, or form.
Uh-huh.
Now, if my wife is listening, she's going to spit coffee out of her nose when I read this. Americans spend 49 hours a year on their phones on the toilet.
Sounds about right.
That does sound right.
49 hours,
but
though.
On average, but here's the kicker. Only 25% of them wipe their phones down afterwards, setting the stage for a hygiene hazard, according to one study.
Okay, but like who wipes their phone down? Like that.
I don't know. Ethan, you got to tell me. I don't know if this is a guy thing or not. Has your wife ever accused you of spending too long in the bathroom?
No.
Mine has. Why does it take you so? I'm like, that's my business. You don't need to be in my business.
Guy's social hour.
It's not. But if you are in there and you've got your phone with you, you're going to scroll through it. Now, here's the thing. Gen Z leads the pack, according to this study, at 54 hours a year. With 66% scrolling social media, 40% streaming videos, 37% responding to messages, and even 2% taking video calls
the bathroom. That's weird.
I know.
Remember when people used to just read the back of like a shampoo bottle, and now it's like,
yeah.
Won't your legs go numb sitting there for that long?
Yeah, men, don't your legs go numb sitting there that long? I don't get it.
No comment.
All right, I don't have a pet, but I know Mark, Sue, Ethan, all of you guys have dogs you love very much. I've had dogs growing up. I love them. Well, there's this TikTok trend called Soulmated So Hard, and it's basically just trying to draw attention to how these pets become really our family. They're the most trusted, treasured companions, they say. So when they die, obviously, you're never quite the same. And so this Soulmated So Hard trend has been popping up on TikTok where people are posting these video tributes, and they're making them very elaborate. But anyway, it's like this thing where you have to, you know, make this formal video to make sure that you pay tribute to that pet. I guess it's not enough just to post one single picture anymore. You need to make the video tribute. So just a heads up.
I was always interested in the people that had their dearly departed pets stuffed.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, that is weird.
I've been
like,
to a
take
house
it to
where
a taxidermist
it
and then you
like
can
that.
Always have it there.
I remember doing a story, I think it was Channel 4 maybe, I don't know, and it was clearly a stuffed dog, very real looking, so I think it was the dog.
The dog?
In like a basket. And I'm thinking, this is just weird.
In
like
a basket?
Like, curled like up almost, in a almost as if it was like the dog's bed.
I gotcha.
It's okay. Very odd.
No, thank you.
I have told my wife she needs to stuff me when I die and put me on the couch. So.
Do you have like a pose you want to be
I just want to sit on the couch. That way if she's dating somebody else, then I'm just sitting there looking.
Your finger pointed.
That's sick.
Oh, my gosh.
That's sick. All right.
thank you.
So here's a fun story. And one that was a big surprise. So a Texas woman is celebrating because a professional diver recovered her diamond wedding ring at the bottom of a lake in Texas. It's called Possum Kingdom Lake. Here's the thing. She lost it 100 years ago. Jacqueline Page says she was visiting the sandy beach with her son's baseball team when she noticed the ring, which dates back to 1910, had slipped off her finger. So she didn't lose it 100 years ago, but the ring dates back to 1910.
Okay, and, good.
And then a professional diver found the ring, believe it or not, after having to call off the dive initially because of bad weather, was able to go to the bottom of the lake and find the ring.
Needle in a haystack.
Isn't that amazing?
That is impressive.
Yeah.
We've all, Sue, I think you can probably relate to this. We've all been worried about plastics, and I think a lot of people have been trying to switch to bottles. Like, I know some people don't even use plastic baby bottles anymore. They use the glass ones, which scares me if you drop it on accident. But anyway, if you're worried about ingesting these microplastics and maybe you did switch to glass bottles, they're saying you should check the type of cap that they have, because some new study revealed that those glass containers often have more microplastics in them than the others, and they think that the caps are the reason why. They conducted this research to investigate the level of microplastic contamination in water, soft drinks, beer, and wine, and they found that the glass bottles were somehow, which this makes no sense to me, were the most contaminated with these microplastics.
Yuck.
Help my brain understand that.
Yeah, because you think of them being rinsed and clean and all. Right. Like, what about beer bottles? Of course, they have metal caps on. We wouldn't have to worry about that, right?
But it's a tiny little cap compared to an entire plastic bottle. Right.
And thought about that.
I don't understand that.
All right. So we've seen the self-driving cars. There is a motorcycle company, Kawasaki. I know you've heard of them. Who they're coming out with a four-legged all-terrain vehicle that functions like a horse.
Huh.
Like it can almost walk. I'm trying to envision it because they have a video of it here, but. I'm not sure how you would ride it. I see somebody on it. It walks like a horse, except it's. I assume it has an engine in. It's hydrogen fueled, so that's water. You just pour water in it, right?
Yeah, what's the advantage?
I don't know. Why is this necessary?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you just ride a horse?
That's weird. Hey, a real quick one. There was a study that came out that found that Illinois and Missouri are the two of the hardest state names to pronounce. Illinois ranked as the fourth hardest to pronounce state, Missouri as the eighth hardest to pronounce state.
Why?
How?
Some people mispronounce it Missouri.
But Illinois.
I guess Illinois?
No.
Who doesn't know Illinois or Missouri? What's the number one?
Do you know?
I don't know the number one. I'll have to look that up.
Probably Massachusetts. Yeah, but if I had to guess, it's probably it. All right.
Arkansas. Sorry.
Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.